This is CliffCentral.com.
Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks, Lindsey Buckingham, Mick Fleetwood. Fantastic. What a band.
Fleetwood and Fuckingham.
I'm sorry?
I got them mixed up.
Good Lord. There's no need for profanities.
That escalated so quickly.
All right. Lubabalo, approving of my music. Thank you very much. I think it's only when Ben is here that I get rude emails about the music and messages. By the way, 079-748-2090. That is how you can get hold of us. If you want to drop us a voicemail, voice note, if you want to send us a message, yeah, WhatsApp, tweet, whatever it is, get hold of us that way. All right. Okay.
Ooh, speaking about deadly looking drinks like the Mampuru we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
There's this holiday deaths riddle unfolding.
A what?
With American tourists in, or any tourists really, in the Dominican Republic.
I heard about this.
Okay, so, but you got to be really insane to go to the Dominican Republic.
I don't know. It's advertised.
A friend of mine went there with his wife. Said they stayed in the resort because if you went outside of the resort, they could not guarantee your safety.
Like?
Mm. Yeah, like in Afghanistan or Iraq. If you're outside the compound where the UN are, you're basically, you're in the Wild West. Anything goes.
Well, it's still 180,000 Brits visit the country for a sunshine break every year.
Because it's cheap,
but
right?
But the biggest market for tourism is by far the US, with more than 2 million Americans visiting the island.
Insane.
So what's happened is a fourth mystery death has occurred. A U.S. tourist drank one whiskey at this luxury resort, urinated blood, and then died.
Oh, that's good. That's nice.
He became sick and urinated blood after he had one whiskey from his room minibar at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Punta Cana. Just a while ago, Miranda Schopferner died while she was on holiday there with her husband in May. Three others were found dead in their rooms in another hotel on the Caribbean island. So the one was, again, the Miranda was where she had a drink from the minibar, but totally different hotels. And 5 days later, an engaged couple were also found dead. So the post-mortem examinations revealed that they all died of natural causes, but obviously the families are still searching for answers.
I would be furious if I had booked a holiday and started pissing blood.
Furious, I think, is not the word. You would be freaking scared out of your mind.
This wasn't in the package deal description.
I mean, this is making me think. I mean, you can't really spike a mini bar drink because they're all sealed.
Yeah, but is it maybe the
brand of something that they're using?
It might be the ice.
Yes.
When you go
to glasses.
When you go to a bar, even in South Africa, there are a lot of girls who say they get their drinks spiked and no one can figure out how. Sometimes it's in the ice, hey?
Mm.
Well, there's another couple who is taking a resort in the Dominican Republic to court because they've now, through going to the doctor and doing some further investigation, pinpointed to possibly being something that the resort uses in and with their plants, so some sort of chemical there. They're working on a lawsuit of $1 million because they say they visited a resort back in June of 2018 and they just started experiencing some very weird symptoms. So they say at first they walked back into their room on this particular day and they said that their room started smelling like someone had dumped paint everywhere.
Oh,
doesn't this sound
boy.
Like a plot line right. of a weird,
like a
weird story?
Don't go to shitty countries for your... Please don't... Why are people doing this?
Because, you know, hashtag exploring and whatnot
no.
whatnot.
You spend a lot of time saving up money for that one big holiday a year.
Mm.
Don't go to a country that's on the failed states list.
Oof.
You're going to bleed from your eyeballs. And you'll poo out your intestines.
It gets worse. The couple then said they started drooling excessively.
Oh, my God.
That's the worst.
Sounds like a zombie movie.
The one says, my eyes would not stop watering. They asked to change rooms after they were suffering from cramps. The lady
could
says,
not stop drooling. I'm still.
Imagine.
I know how St. Bernard feels.
The lady says her cramps were so painful that it felt like a chainsaw was going through my gut. That night, we both woke up soaked in sweat at like 4 a.m, and we were kind of petrified, so we booked a flight home before the sun came up. They went to their doctor, and their doctor said that they were poisoned. So this is why they're now working on a $1 million lawsuit.
Yeah, at first it was thought it was just alcoholic drinks, but one of the drinks consumed was a 7-Up. So that makes me think, could it be the ice or even the glasses?
7-Up with rat brains.
Okay. Talk about a holiday from hell.
I started watching a new show yesterday. It's called Black Summer. It's a zombie show.
Oh no, Gareth.
Yes, I got into 3 episodes of it and I'm in.
Is it like The Walking Dead?
It's kind of like, you know, like all zombie shows. You've got the outbreak and then people are just trying to get away from zombies and away from each other.
Mm.
There are bad people and there are good people and then there are zombies. And
do you check out, like I go to Rotten Tomatoes before I start watching a series?
Yeah, I probably should have done that.
To see if it's worth
it or
not.
Look, this thing's, it's quite shit. I won't lie. But I like the zombies. I will watch anything with zombies. Zombies, aliens. There's a great series called The Shooter. It's about this this guy. He's like an assassin.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I told you I've started John Wick. So I'm into a whole. You could see I'm going through the stage obviously where I'm thinking a lot about guns and fighting things and fighting zombies and. That's what I'm into at the moment. So anything with that, I'm in, even if it's really badly made. And a lot of these are.
I've started watching Gentleman Jack, which
what
is...
What the hell's that? That sounds like Downton Abbey.
It's there are aspects of it that are like that. A British-American historical drama TV series set in 1832 in Yorkshire.
Oh, my God.
And it follows the real-life diaries that were found of a lesbian at the time.
Oh, okay, I'm in.
Oh, now you're in character.
Anne Lister.
What?
Who was a landowner and started getting into coal as well. She was an industrialist.
A lesbian coal miner.
Yeah.
She's
absolutely beautiful in the series.
Yeah, she wasn't in real life. What's the bit in real life? Yeah. Sheila was terrifying.
There's an actress who we would recognize.
Looked like she could chew through a car tire. I mean, in the 1830s in England, owned a coal mine? Are you kidding me?
She
walked on all fours.
No, okay. She had to. She came back. She actually lived in Paris and lived this really wild lifestyle with big busted lesbians. And
now that sounds okay. I'm in.
She had to come back to Yorkshire because her father was ailing, and take over his duties.
You see, the
but at
me-
the same time, she finds this beautiful young woman who also lives in is new to the area, and the two
men,
of them said
the
it all.
The men in those days were such monsters.
Yeah, and just I mean, this was when women couldn't vote.
Vote? When even it was like the Taliban in those days.
She wasn't. She started collecting her own. Lease money from her tenants, and that was seen as a no-no.
So did she pretend to be a woman? Is that why it's called Gentleman Jack?
No, there was no pretending.
Oh, so she was a woman, and she wasn't dressing up as a man or anything.
No, well, she would dress beautifully, very tailored, but sort of masculine-looking clothing.
Yeah, because in those days...
And everyone would talk.
Yeah, in those days, if you were a woman, you just didn't get any respect from your workers.
Had to wear pink and curl your hair.
Right, and play cards.
And she just wore these beautifully tailored outfits. She would wear a dress, but with pants underneath.
Right.
Because she would need to jump over walls and do all sorts of things.
I like the sound of this.
It's very intelligent and...
Gentleman Jack, all right.
I haven't figured out yet why it's called that.
Tell me about the hot lesbians in France and the big busts.
Okay. Well, you see flashes from her past.
Oh.
And it's but just,
not
you know,
that
you,
sort
it's
of flashing.
Like you're watching Downton Abbey, and then all of a sudden, without warning, there's this crazy porn scene.
Yay!
Oh,
I love TV now.
Poobs and lesbian sex.
TV never.
I had
used
to turn down my volume very quickly.
TV never used to have stuff like this. It used to be there was no violence, there's no sex, there's no swearing. Now it's all violence and sex and swearing.
Yeah. But it's very well put together. Just be warned if you have tenants on your property in a cottage.
Yeah, turn it down.
Yeah, keep it down.
All right, so there's a good show.
Before other things are alluded to.
All right, so there's a couple of suggestions for you. People like those, and if you have any, you can let us know. What else is in the news?
Well, do you like the idea of your artificial intelligence helping you not to cheat on your diet? Well, this is now the new wave of what some scientists are trying to work out. From Drexel University in Pennsylvania in the United States, there are researchers who are developing an app that can predict when dieters are likely to lapse on their eating regimen. And they look at things like the time of day, the user's emotions, even the temperature of their skin and heart rate. So they haven't really said how it will practically manifest, as in what will this app do? Will it like slap your hand just as you're about to reach for a cookie? But they're saying that artificial intelligence is now moving to a point where it could actually pick up things like this and be able to curb it.
You know, half the problem with people who have weight issues, eating disorders, is that they lie to themselves. You know, they say, oh, no, but I only had a little salad for lunch. Meanwhile, they've been snacking all the time before and since. Right? And they get up in the middle of the night and they'll go to the fridge and they'll, like, down a Coke or grab a piece of cake if it's there. And people don't realize that they – and you convince yourself, no, I only had three meals today.
And meanwhile, people lie to themselves.
Right. So if this artificial intelligence can map your – you know, your body cycles, your eating routine, you can keep an eye on what you're putting in and what you're getting out energy wise. It might help.
Because we're pretty close with a lot of apps that are like that.
These wearables.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's an app called Noom, which I've been using.
Noom?
Yes. Which helps to regulate what you're eating and how you're feeling and emotional
stuff. Isn't it called Nom Nom Nom?
Yeah, it should be called that. But, you know, like my psychiatrist said, Leanne, your brain is an app. Just use your brain.
Yeah.
Well, some people need that, I guess, like support. You know, an app probably telling them,
I was thinking about it as well.
It's not smart to reach for the cookie right now.
Yeah, especially living at home. And for me, it's not so much, I don't eat a lot. It's all got to do with the love of red wine and the hate of any exercise.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no one, if you live alone, there's no one to really keep you in check.
Yeah.
And say, I'm going for a run. Would you like to join me?
Imagine if you had an app that just stopped you at the fridge. fat person. Stop eating, you pig. Stop eating. No more cake. Fat. Your cloven hooves are too close to the fridge. Giant hippopotamus of a human being. Stop eating.
Or if the fridge just delivered through a hole what you were allowed to have from it.
Nothing else. Or just locked.
You're allowed a cucumber and some intervals. Water.
Yeah, you pull the lever and it goes blah, 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 and there's three tomatoes and a cucumber. God.
Well, this is just one example of some interesting AI developments. There's a company in California called CrossCheck, CrossCHQ, which is using AI now. And
I thought that was the app that Jesus used to make sure he didn't leave his cross lying around.
I didn't want to laugh at that. That's
well, just to check that it was tightly bound with the ropes.
I'm so going
Peter,
to hell.
Peter, I think I've misplaced my cross. Just hop on my app quickly and see where... cross check. Here it is. Oh, I left it in the corner of Jerusalem Street and the Mount of Olives.
So this cross check is able to now help employers in the job reference process.
You leave my cross. That's mine.
Get your own.
Those goddamn Maccabees, always stealing my things, and they've taken my sandals.
You guys are not dragging me down here.
Mm-mm. Dragging?
No.
have no idea how heavy that cross is I have to drag.
Jesus loves me. I don't want to be part of this conversation.
Tell me more about the CrossCheck app.
Yes, yeah, you're still here.
Yeah, I know. So CrossCheck is able to pick up things based on a person's resume and cross-check and reference what you've submitted. So now this sort of AI will be able to pick up if you've lied about something.
Oh,
if I still don't get how people are lying on their resumes.
If in your language you're too overly colorful, which means or might allude to the fact that you aren't as confident in this answer. So now we're reaching a point where even AI will be able to pick this up. And how about this? Similar to CrossCheck, in Denmark, the University of Copenhagen has professors who are now working with AI to be able to spot cheating on academic submissions or papers. And right now they say they have up to 90% accuracy. So the AI that they're developing and working with is able to pinpoint plagiarism in schoolwork, to pick up certain phrases, to pick up, you know, sentence constructions or how ideas are laid out, and they can compare it to existing work as well. Yes. So now your school teachers and professors will be able to pick up if you've been cheating, if you're looking at someone else's work.
Oh no.
This is changing the game.
I found this brilliant app the other day. Greg, who works here with us, he's a genius. He found it. It's called Photomath.
Mm-hmm.
You write down any algebra equation. It solves for you. For
why
X.
would I have an algebraic equation?
When you were at school and you did algebra.
Which is where I left it.
Yeah, but imagine having this app then.
But it's now.
Oh, God.
What are you using it for?
When you listen to me, it's just an amazing thing. Like, I could write down an equation and it solves it for me.
Okay.
I don't know why that's hard for you to figure out.
It just doesn't interest me. I like, I think it's called Grammarly, which is now a keyboard that checks your grammar and spelling, but, you know, way beyond spell check. So maybe it's just a words thing that I prefer.
Yeah, all right. Well, this is a great app. So if you wanted to cheat at algebra, Photomath.
Huh.
Yeah, see, I was talking about cheating, so.
So I was reading this article in technology saying it's time to delete most of your apps.
Because really?
They can do more harm than just take up space.
Tell me.
I have so many apps. So, you know, when apps started about 11 years ago, when we had the actual App Store icon, it debuted with 500 apps in total. They're now sitting at 2.2 million.
Wow.
I'm an absolute hoarder when it comes to these. I've got so many apps that I...
How many screens on your phone?
Well, it's not only the screens. It's
Folders as well.
Folders as well. So, yeah, have a little scroll through from there onwards.
All right, there's the first page. All the regular stuff that you'd expect, like Gmail and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Google Maps. And the second screen is like Uber and car. Oh, you've got the car map? Okay, nice. You've got Cliff Central. That's very good. You've got Skype. Then you've got a third page with Our Groceries, Audible, Zomato, FitPrism. What is PhotoFox? And then you've got a fourth page with Fabulous, Present.
Fabulous is one of those apps that make you do things all day that make you feel good.
Pronto Sign, PhotoMine.
So a lot of these photo apps help me with my social media in terms of work. With my clients.
Voir Cam. You've got Entertainer. You've got a fifth screen with the Lottery, App Store. It's just unbelievable. You've got so many screens. And you've got folders as well. Your second page is filled with folders.
Mm. And I use a lot of them.
You've got 200 apps here?
Yeah, easily. Probably. So, yeah, it just made me realize I probably need to... curb my enthusiasm.
Yeah.
It's
a lot of apps.
So if you...
You're an app hoarder.
Yeah.
I try to clean mine out. I've got two screens.
Mm?
That's it.
Well, they say that you should only have two screens worth. That's all you need. And yeah. That's how many you'll use. But if you want to free up space, you go on your iPhone to Settings, general iPhone storage, and it'll give you an option called offload unused apps.
Yeah, I've got that.
Yeah, which automatically deletes apps you don't use regularly.
Right. You don't even realize how much battery power these things are pulling.
And I'm not one for closing all the windows.
So in other words, yours is probably, your battery maybe lasts half an hour.
Let's see, it was charged all night and I'm on 86% now.
Yeah, it's coming down fast.
Oh, wow.
How many screens of apps do you have?
I think four.
Oof, you're a hoarder.
Yeah, I have four. But you never know what you might need. And we only have that mentality now because of how many options of things are available out there. You know, I look at some of the things right now and I think it's so arbitrary, but it is nonetheless here. I have like four different photo editing apps alone.
Ooh.
Yeah. Those are, and as I said,
how many? Four photo editing apps?
You know, when you.
Are these ones where you Photoshop yourself?
You know, when you say something and you instantly regret saying it, yeah. That's me now.
You have four?
Because I'm hashtag no filter, you know? Hashtag I woke up like this. But yes, I do have four.
What is this, Leanne? What have you got here?
I've also got like med student apps.
Oh, that's cool.
What for?
That allow you to look at different.
I'm looking right up the skeleton's asshole right now.
What?
The names of each bone, and then you can do it with organs as well. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, this is good. Rib cage, body of sternum. I can look at the scapula. Cervical vertebra 5.
What made you download something
because
like this?
Because I felt a pain somewhere and I didn't know which bone
you
it was.
You hypochondriac.
So I would be able to say to the doctor, it's my hip socket. Or
you have taken hypochondria to a whole other level. Not only are you now not just on WebMD, you now have a whole app that shows you where the pain might be coming from.
That is awesome. I mean, like, before, it was very, very hard to remember all of this stuff. You either had to have a great memory or you needed to have a big library at hand all the time.
So crazy.
Yeah, you'd have to have the Encyclopedia Britannica to start with. And Wikipedia is about 4 million times bigger than that now.
Sure. It's just unreal. We're so lucky to live now. All right. While we're talking about living now, Ghana is in the news.
Oof.
Apparently, Ghana has beaten South Africa to become the top gold producer on the continent. We keep losing. We are such losers in South Africa. We really are. Our economy used to be the biggest. Now Nigeria is the biggest. We used to be the biggest gold producer. Now we're the second biggest because Ghana's taken over. Can we just win one thing? Cricket? Oh, no. I don't want to talk about that. Rugby? Oh, we can't talk about that.
Protea fire.
Soccer? Oh, please. Even the women's soccer, which no one watches, even though they pretend they care about it, we can't even win that. For God's sake.
So, the story that I found on this actually is written in one of the Ghanaian languages. It's kind of like a bit of a slang in English.
It's like pidgin.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were fluent.
Derivative. But I thought, oh, this is interesting. Ghana beat South Africa to become top gold producer for Africa.
Uh-huh.
Ghana don't climb on top South Africa to become the number one gold producer for Africa. Bloomberg way say sabi people for many matters say for many decades. Now South African binde wear the crown, but high production cost and labor cost.
Binde wear the crown.
But high production cost and labor union matter don't show their gold mining industry their paper.
No way.
On the other hand, Ghana don't lower cost of production, not to talk of new investment. We don't enter. It's fascinating.
That's
I could read this all day.
Where do you get this stuff?
Well, this is the BBC News, but in pidgin.
It's BBC pidgin.
Yeah.
Ghana beat Africa to become top gold producer for Africa. I love this language. Topics way dem resemble.
Yes.
That means like similar stuff.
Similar stories.
How did you even find a website
where
like this?
The one we dem read the well. That's so cool.
I think I'm going to learn this language. I want to speak it.
Go to the story.
I loved On the Other Hand.
Just let's go to Justin Bieber challenge Tom Cruise. You remember we talked about this yesterday?
Yes. Yeah.
I want to read this in pidgin. Can I?
Yes.
Canada singer Justin Bieber don challenge movie actor Tom Cruise to fight Inside Ultimate Fighting Championship ring. Bieber for Inside tweet
say if the Hollywood actor no fight am, I mean say Tom Cruise the fear am. We been think Justin Bieber go engage we've, Selena Gomez.
What we been think?
Yeah, we've been thinking. So we've been thinking.
Listen, Bieber way day known for popular song like What Do You Mean, Sorry and Love Yourself. They're the Mission Impossible actor to come face arm and also target UFC president Dana White to help set up the match.
It's actually so cool.
The tweet prompt former UFC champion Conor McGregor to step in come and reveal, say him McGregor Sports and Entertainment go host the fight. If Tom Cruise the man enough to accept the challenge.
Isn't it lovely?
E no de clear wetting go make Bieber say im one fight Tom Cruise. Where im work mostly actor, not to perform stunts for action movies. Even with Bieber open challenge to the actor, Tom Cruise never respond to tweets or make any comments if the fight no go happen or not.
That's so great.
I could listen to that all day.
Yeah, me too.
That is so great. I love it.
So rhythmic.
So Ben was in Ghana just a short while ago, and he said that this pigeon is hard to follow some of the time, but it is beautiful. When you hear it in flow, it's really beautiful.
Have I shown you my handbag? My brother bought it for me in Ghana. See, it says if I say that one more time.
Because it sounds so freaking often.
But I think one thing that I loved about Ghana as well, looking at, I did a bit of research I had to for a client of mine, is that millennials in Ghana are working hard to make farming sexy.
Oh.
So young Ghanaians are quitting their jobs to become farmers and encouraging others to do the same. So in a country where technology is streaming ahead or steaming ahead or streaming, they're actually quitting their little desk laptop jobs and going back into farming because they're realizing that this is the way the country needs to go. So they're now developing farming apps. They're calling themselves agripreneurs.
Beautiful.
They're making certain farming goods seem cool. They've started promoting the farming of these giant African snails and also these giant African rats, which are like a rare treat.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just trying to get in there and make it seem cool because at the moment, if you're a farmer, it means you're poor. That's the connotation.
I think this is so great.
Yeah, it really is.
And then we come back to South Africa, though, and we raise our eyebrow because you were talking about mining a little earlier, Leanne. Well, it's now been revealed by our Mineral Resources Department that Zamazamas and illicit mining industry in 2018 alone cost South Africa 41 billion rand.
Oh,
so Sibanye Gold, you know, the big company in 2014 reportedly spent 75 million rands trying to combat illegal mining. And clearly it didn't help out much because, you know, this industry, they describe Zamazamas as, you know, this well-oiled machine who know exactly how to go undercover and go around procedures, know how to mine things illegally, know how to distribute those minerals or stones illegally as well. Think about that, 41 billion rands in 2018 alone. Shucks.
I think these Zamazama guys have a pretty tough time, though. I mean, their lives are horrible.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they should be rewarded because essentially what they're doing is stealing.
Mm.
But it's a
hard life. The desperation has driven them.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Hey, so Stairway to Heaven. You know the song by Led Zeppelin?
Mm-hmm.
Very famous song. Everybody knows. It goes like this. The U.S. Appeals Court is to revisit the Led Zeppelin Stairway decision because they say that the song was lifted from Taurus by Spirit. Now, if Led Zeppelin loses this again, half of the artists of the last 20 years are in trouble.
Sure.
So take a listen to this. So that's obviously Led Zeppelin, right? Do, do, dee, do. Everybody who ever learns to play the guitar well has to master this. Da, da, da. There's a lady who's short.
glitters is gold, and he's buying the stairway to heaven. She's buying the stairway. All right, so that's
this
the...
This is your jam.
No, I just know the song. It's been... Please, everyone on earth knows the song. Here's Spirits Taurus. See if you think this was lifted by Led Zeppelin.
Uh-oh.
I'm not hearing it so far, but... I'm not feeling it yet, but let's give it a chance. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can suddenly see why people didn't wait to hear the rest of Spirit.
That's why they never figured this out.
They never figured it out. No one bothered to listen past 20 seconds. Fucking boring intro. There we go.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty heavy lift.
Song. There's a lady who's short. You know what? I don't know. And then they're going to ask a judge to decide this. Some judge has probably got no musical ear at all.
I'm sure they use specialists. They call them the specialists.
I don't know.
Pathologists. Music pathologists.
So even if they stole the melody, right? They still perfected it and turned it into a song that actually people wanted to hear. Because no one wanted to listen to that horrible Spirit song. No one.
Well, they never got to the juicy bits.
Yeah, well. You know who's here? Joe Camino. I like this guy. How you, Joe?
Gareth. Doc's in the house. How you doing?
How are you doing, dude?
Excellent.
I love the accent. It's just immediately...
I don't have an accent.
Oh, come on. What are you talking about, Joe?
Hey, come on. Don't go there now, okay?
Joe, how long have you been in South Africa? Do people still ask you about, like, when you came here?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been here like
am I gonna stay
20 years
23.
Or there we go.
Wow.
Yeah, nice to
stay.
See you.
I always like that one.
You're looking happy and healthy. What's going on?
Oh, just enjoying. Just came back from training the Central Bank of Lesotho.
What's that like? Because we've got
Senate,
problems.
The top. Well, I do train some of the top people here too. I can't use their names on the
so
radio.
So we can blame you basically when things go wrong.
Well, we just started, so it's the fix is in.
Okay. So we'll just give you a little bit of a chance to warm up.
Yeah, that was quite interesting. And the interesting thing I spotted is every time there was a break in our program in Lesotho, they all went outside and nobody smoked.
Really?
Nobody smoked.
What do you think that's all about?
I have no idea.
Too expensive to smoke?
Well,
they
even said it's quite a poor country. But
they've got clean mountain air there. Maybe they don't want to fill their lungs with...
I found that very... I've never seen that in my life before.
Now, we've spoken to Joe a couple of times about basic financial acumen. You know, a lot of people get themselves into trouble with money, and they're not sure how to get in or out and how to start dealing and tackling with the situation. And today, I thought we would focus on something that I presume a lot of people... don't entirely understand. Insurance. We're not going to mention any brands here. We're not here to compare one insurer to another. But you need to understand why this stuff matters.
Agreed.
And I thought, in a time where people are really... money's tight. Fuel prices are going sky high. Everything costs you more than it should. And a lot of people will sacrifice insurance. It's one of the things that they cut loose, right?
Right. Yes.
And that's not a good idea.
Not necessarily. However, a lot of them are being oversold and overcharged. And that's the big thing. I mean, what I'm seeing in a lot of the companies that we train, they have a good benefits package. So, it comes with 3 times your annual salary, a funeral policy, a retirement program, pension provident, where they match. Mm-hmm. So if you put in R1,000, your company puts in R1,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's 100% interest per month on your money. And the reason I mention that is it seems like what the brokers do is when you're young and you're starting out, they hit you for 2 things, which is life cover.
Yeah.
And a retirement annuity. And they sell you the tax benefit of it, but at the same time, your job probably has these things. And the problem with life insurance is that most of the times it goes up every year for inflation.
Yeah.
And they call it inflation, but it's not, because the payment goes up, but the cover doesn't. And in the economics realm, there's something called the rule of 72s, and in a nutshell, it says your money pretty much halves in its buying power about every 7 years due to inflation. I mean, if you look at 20,000 Rand today or 20,000 Rand 7 years ago,
yeah,
you could have bought a lot more 7 years ago.
Sure.
So your 20,000 is only worth 10. So when they buy this million Rand life policy, they think they're going to get a million Rand. They are. But in 21 years,
where it'll it's be
equal
be worth...
to 125,000 Rand.
Right.
In the meantime, their payments keep going up. And the payments should not go up. What that is, in most cases, it's a commission for the broker.
Yeah.
And when you look at what you'll be paying when you get older, it's quite cost prohibitive, because if you have children, as many propagate the species,
mm-hmm.
You know, once you get in your upper 40s and 50s, your kids are going to college, and that's a huge fee. And if you look at what you used to pay, and the example I have here was, I remember when I got here, they used to raise the premiums by 15%.
Yeah.
And, you know, at age 40, if you bought a 500 Rand premium, at 61, you'll be paying 7,000 Rand a month.
Jesus.
At 62, you'll be paying 8,000 Rand a month.
That's...
when you should be paying 500 Rand a month.
Right. But look, there are two separate things going on here. There's the policy, and then there's the education cost when you have kids at college, which is just it's crazy, right? Unbelievable expense that most people can never afford. You hold down three jobs, you can't pay those fees.
My son's in honors right now. I'm very proud of him. He just graduated from Tuckey's.
Congratulations.
In investment management, eh?
Congratulations. What did that set you back?
Well, I pre-planned for it. Ha-ha.
Of course you did.
Yeah, of course. Well,
thanks.
Even school,
rub off faces in it.
You pay it. Well, financial fitness, bro. What can I tell you, you know? It made me very successful, you know? Thanks, Jim. You know, with the people with their increases every year, what actually occurs is it starts to bleed them. I call it slowly bleed you, because all your things are going up at 10%. And when I say all your things, I mean your life cover, your funeral, your endowment, your education, your retirement, your ADT Fidelity, your DSTV, MWeb, SCOM, Telcom. Everything keeps going up at 10%, okay? What raise did most companies give last year?
If any.
Correct.
If any.
Correct.
5-6%.
Right.
Maybe.
So their outbound's going out at 10,
mm-hmm.
and their incoming's coming in at 3 or 4 maybe. And I just got the rates on the tariffs for water and things for 2018-19. And it shows here on a prepaid meter, your first 10 kiloliters, the increase is 29%.
Jeez.
You have a copy of it. On the metered ones,
I'm
which we all
look.
Have,
yeah.
That's 15.9%.
Why? Where do they get the right to just hike it up by 29%? That seems just arbitrary and ridiculous.
They're broke. That's how simple it is.
The
municipalities
broke. They
got to get money
broke.
From somewhere.
Oh,
right. I mean, we've got high unemployment. We've got people who are being retrenched, businesses that are closing. The construction industry is under. The mining industry is a dwarf of what it used to be. And all these people who have been retrenched, they don't pay tax anymore.
No.
So where does the government who's broke get money?
They just bleed the rest of the people who still have some.
Until it just, you know, falls apart. And it's sad is what it is.
Can we talk about funeral policies?
Gonna die.
Yeah, because this bothers me. This really, I see a lot of people being taken advantage of in these funeral policies.
Agreed.
Let's just talk honestly about it. What are people paying for? What are they paying, and what do they get?
The normal number I hear is 20,000 Rand. I'm covered for 20,000. And this is young people. And I was at a training yesterday. I won't mention the name of the casino. And the one girl had 20,000 Rand. And she was 23 years old, you know. Now, there's a chance. I mean, her mother's 81.
Yeah.
You know. So, I mean, there's a chance she's going to live. And
the 20-something-year-old?
23-year-old,
yeah. There's a chance she'll live, yeah. Right.
And if you really look at what her policy will pay out, it's like 1,000 rand when she's older, you know? So I said everybody's going to have a cup at your funeral. But the key there, again, Gareth, is those premiums keep going up. You understand? And most companies have a funeral program in place. But see, when people leave one job for another for more money, because life's going to get better and that doesn't really work, they tend to keep all these things that they've purchased in the past because they don't want to, quote unquote, lose.
Yeah.
When in actuality, they are losing. And when you look at the fact that these policies, all of them, go up at 10%, if you get a 3 or 4% raise, well, you're paying 9% on a house, 12% on a car, 19% on credit card debts. Mm-hmm. Plus, you got all these policies going out at 10%.
And what do you get for that funeral policy? I mean, what is
real
what is
good
it?
Question. I know when my brother died when I was young, I had to do the go deal with the people at the funeral home, and the guy was holding my hand, and he, you know, those guys. First off, kind of got to be a little morbid to work there, but anyway, that's my own personal view. Mm-hmm. But he grabbed my hand and he wouldn't let go, and he said, "You know, this is the last thing you're ever gonna do for your brother, and there's gonna be thousands of, and you want to show him that you love him, and I'm, you know, I'm going.
No, you want a pine box,
you know. Well, he took me to the most expensive casket.
Sure.
That's what he did. You know what I mean? So then I go, what do you do with the casket after the funeral? Well, you buried her in tomb, and I go, take me to the cheapy section.
Yeah, correct.
So, you know, my thoughts are, I'll bet you can't even get a casket for $20,000.
You're joking. Not even a cheap one?
Well, you probably can, but, you know, in the local community, that casket says a lot.
Mm.
You know, and they pull that heartstring thing, which they sold you a lot of the garbage you bought in the past with. Well, you care, and it's the last thing, just like they did to me. Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's
and they guilt you into
it. It's a cultural thing
it.
As well, specifically yeah. in South Africa, where the ultimate respect is to spend a lot of money on the funeral.
Correct. Mm. Correct. When, you know, they're already gone to wherever realm they're in and, you know, everybody
okay.
feels sorry.
So
but
I see these people on TV. Oh, that can't be cheap, these advertising guys. Mm. And they're selling funeral policies. And it is exactly the stuff you're talking about. Well, if you really love your relatives, you make sure they're covered with X and Y funeral policy. You're telling me that won't even buy that expensive casket?
I don't think so. I don't know. I haven't shopped for caskets yet.
I go every week.
Oh. Check. You try them on for size?
But, you know, in a lot of times, if you really look at the wording, you have to use their mortuary services. You have to use their – and that comes at a premium. Mm. Do you understand?
So you're in for more than the price.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And, again, you know, if your money halves every 7 years, your 20,000 today buys you 10,000 rands worth of casket in 7 years.
So what should we be doing instead of having a funeral policy?
Chop down
a plan on living.
Chop down a tree and make your own casket. That's
well, this is where financial fitness comes in.
All right, tell us.
First, get out of debt. Hmm. Because what occurs in this country, and I see it, and it happens to the young people who are coming up in into the business life, they have a little bit of debt. You know, they're starting out. They just moved out from mom, et cetera. They're going to meet a girlfriend. So they got credit card debt. They got car loans. Then they get a home loan. And some guy comes along and sells them a retirement annuity. Now, when you look at a home bond, let's pick on a million rand home bond, which you can't really get in this neighborhood. It's 10,000 a month. First 5 years is all interest.
Yeah.
Now, somebody sells you a retirement annuity your first month in the house. You paid 10,000 rand in interest. How much did you make? 2 rand, 14, if anything, because the costs come off up front. You know what
right.
I mean? So you're paying 10,000 every month, and you're making 1 rand 63, 4 rand 12, 6 rand 18, 9 rand. So you're paying huge amounts of interest, and you're not making it. So you're actually going backwards, whereas if you just put that money into your house, you could get on a new house, you can get almost 200% per month return on your money. And you chop years off it.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
understand?
Yeah.
So what they're trying to do is use – and here's the deal. If I came to your house, if I was a broker – and I'm not – and I'm going to sell you something, if I tell you, no, don't take this policy, don't take this – put it into your bond because you get this astronomical interest rate and you can pay off your house
then
in 7 years.
You as a broker get no commission on that.
I get nothing. It costs me petrol to go to your house. And I got a Merc in the parking lot, so, I mean, hey, I have bills, too. And that's always what I used to ask in all the groups that we do is, what kind of car do you drive, and what does your broker drive? And they always laugh at that one, you know what I mean? Now, the industry's changing and all, but it's up to the broker. It's not up to the company. It's up to what he wants to sell you. You know what I mean? And it just hurts the people because, you know, they're getting almost, I mean, look at the retirement annuity returns in some areas. Mm-hmm. Some people didn't make any money. Some did 3 to 4. So why they're paying 9 on a house?
Would you say don't bother with life policies?
No, you actually have to. First off, you have them with your company, number one. But a lot of times the bank will require you to have a life policy when you get a home bond.
So that if you die, they can pay it off.
Correct. And but again, the premium shouldn't go up.
But that's a life policy shouldn't be hugely expensive either, right?
No, well, it isn't in the beginning. But as I say, as it escalates every year, 10% or the old policy's 15%, it catches up on you when you're older.
Yeah.
Now, you got to remember, you have all this going on, Gareth, okay? You're 42 years old, and all of a sudden your wife wants to divorce you or your husband wants to divorce you. Now you have serious financial implications. And, you know, if they sold your retirement product, you can't touch anything, you know. So if you get out of debt first, you got to remember, let's say you're paying 9% on your home bond. What
right.
people don't really understand is inflation is really about 8%. I know the government says 5. I know. I'm not saying they lie to you.
But what are you saying?
When you add 9 and 8, that's minus 17%. So you got to get 17% return on your savings just to break even, which most people don't.
No.
So again, it goes to pay off your debt, then start to, but fully fund. And the rule pretty much is you save no money.
What about these people who say to you, but there's good debt and there's bad debt?
Yeah.
What about those people? Are they talking shit?
As somebody with no debt, I'd say no debt is good debt.
Yeah.
Personally. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I always tell them, and I just did this yesterday at our seminar, I told everybody, close your eyes and imagine you have no debt. How does that feel?
Fuck. It feels good.
And they all go, ooh, and then I yell, wake up! You know what I mean? It felt good for 10 seconds, but that's where we try to take them, you know what I mean? I just went into a company on Friday, which was great. I'm trying to get in. Big company. Won't mention the letters. 3 of them. And the lady did our course in 2003, and she paid off her house and everything. And then she said she bought her son a brand new SUV. I go, why did you do that? Because she's in her 50s now. And she goes, because I can afford it.
Uh-uh.
I go, wow. I can't argue with that, you know, because you don't hear that anymore. I mean, if you want to talk about car loans, these balloons, and we've brought this up before.
Yeah.
Stay away from the balloons, people. They're going to eat you up. Your car's not going to be worth what you owe. Now you got a problem. Big problem. Big problem. And quitting, you saw the GDP minus 3.2. And today, or yesterday, Rand dives, recession looms. We go to junk, interest rates are going to spike, so I'm going to scare all your listeners right now. Be prepared. You're going to get interest rate increases. And for those youngsters out there listening, in 1999, home bond interest rates were 19 to 22%. Hold on to your hats. Oh, they're not going there. But everything's going to start going up. Interest rates are going
to
start going up.
Moody's
claims political and economic stability as a major factor that they're watching. And if you watch the Zondo Commission, there's your political and economic. I mean, the SARS didn't bring in the requisite amount of money. Big problems. All the municipalities out there that are broke and not paying ESCOM, and ESCOM's 600 whatever.
But for some people, this is just insurmountable.
Agreed.
Joe, so how do you start?
Well, first off, as I teach them, you know, there's an old saying which I teach in the course. You're on a plane. Your 2-year-old is next to you.
Yeah.
The masks fall from the ceiling. Whose mask do you put on first?
You're supposed to put on your own.
You're dead.
Your own.
Yeah. See, but immediately that's the nurturing, caring woman in the group. You know, the child. You'll both die because if you can't breathe, your thought processes go, and it also affects your blood and your muscles, and you both die. You know? So the point is, you're of no use to anyone, so you take care of yourself first. So we can complain about the country and whatever it is, but in the meantime, still people are out there, they're using their credit cards.
Yeah.
I mean, I was at Mickey D's again, and I'm looking at everybody using a credit card. Now, it could be a debit card, cool, but nah. It's a lot of credit out there, and they just continue and continue and continue instead of buckle down and lessen the load. You know what I mean? I have one lady who we're going back in to do training. She had to take her daughter out of private school into public school, and the daughter doesn't like that.
No, I'm sure.
Now, what did the mom do? Went out and bought a new Mercedes.
because that's logical.
And this is I mentor this woman, hey? So I guess it didn't work in this case. But how could you? You know, I mean, I can't really go at her because she's paying me. You know,
she went out and bought a car after she couldn't afford to keep her daughter in private school.
Bingo.
How did those even? They're not connected.
Well, you know, when I looked at her, how beautiful she was with all the makeup and the bling, and it's what I said a long time ago. It's keeping up with the Joneses, the Motsepis, and the Naidus. You know what I mean? You have to have that persona. But as I was heading out to a bank that we train, big one, the biggest, I see all this traffic coming in from Centurion, and I used to live in Centurion. I think I met you out there at Hokai Fleiss once.
Yeah.
And I see these people in the traffic. They're miserable.
Yeah.
You know? And as I say, they leave the house they don't own. They get in the car they don't own. They put on clothes they don't own. They fill up with petrol they put on credit. They have no money, but they look good. How do you feel? How do you feel? And they have to buckle down. We are about to go through serious problems in this country with finances. Interest rates are going to spike, and people are going to get caught behind. And I remember back 2007-08, was it 200,000 houses or something like that were beginning or in repossession, you know?
Yeah.
I bought a place at Marina Beach. I'll be there in 2 years. I'll meet you at the pub, buy you some drinks.
Marina Beach.
Yeah, South Coast. I'm South Side, South Coast.
I heard a story the other day about my sister-in-law knows this one woman whose parents are about to have their house repossessed. And it's been on the market for like 4 years and they can't find a buyer.
Yeah.
Because no one's buying property right now.
Yep. No, it's actually, I've got articles. It says a 10-year bear market. I mean, between Magnus Hastick, who tells it the way it is, and a lot of the other economists out there, they're telling you the way it is. And they said prices, if I recall, and I got a pretty good memory, prices are down 21% over the last 10 years. And I know when I bought my plot in Marina Beach, it was $485,000. By the time I got done with them, after the crisis, I paid $110,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So all you people who want to buy a house right now, I would suggest that you hold off because, first off, you're going to need a 10 to 20% down payment that you don't have. But house prices have been dropping, so you don't want to get caught out and buy a million-rand house that in 3 years is worth $850,000.
Yeah.
Because the first 5 years of a bond is all interest. So all of a sudden, you and your wife are working, and with the bad economy, your wife gets retrenched, or you get retrenched, and you're living on two-family income. You're down to one. There goes your house real quick. So I'd say start saving, and as the repossessions and problems continue to hit the market, walk in, buy a million-rand house for $700,000. You scored.
Yeah.
You know, just hold off because
and make sure that other family get the hell out of there. The poor people who you've
Shame. I was thinking,
them out of the cold.
Keep them with you.
Simulates quickly. I don't know. It's a pretty arduous process to get them out. I heard. Well, I know somebody that'll move other people into them as well with them as well.
Well, isn't it horrible that this is the kind of stuff that we are not taught at school, Joe? Why are we not taught this?
Haha, and that's why when I met the Reserve Bank governor. Not the one we train, but the one in Lesotho.
Yeah.
She instituted into young education in school financial education.
Right.
And I was so proud of her when she told me that because that's where it needs to be. Do you understand? Yeah. And I mean, what I hear coming out of America, all these kids coming out with all this massive school debt and they have to take some job and they're under the gun from the whole ways. And you got the Democrats now saying we're going to forgive your debt, which is just like I heard one of the parties in this country. You might remember they were thinking about scrapping the e-tolls before the election. Remember that conversation?
Yeah, that's right.
Where's that conversation?
It's gone nowhere. Oh. And you can't just scrap someone's debt.
Yeah,
someone has to pay.
Well, that's why when they did the National Credit Act thing, I was amazed. And what they did is if you have any negative information on your credit report and you pay it off, it has to immediately come off your credit report. Now, it used to sit there for 5 years so that if I went into CEO of loans, he would say, and by the way, how's that coming along for you? he would see that, oh, Gareth has bad debt here. He didn't pay this guy. He didn't, you know what I mean? All that's now removed, so you look like a shining star. He gives you the loan, you do it again. You know, it's kind of a vicious cycle,
great.
But it does forgive a lot of the poorer people who got done for $3,000.
A lot of poor people in South Africa go to these mashonisas, right? And these guys will lend you, however much you want. You could ask them for 2 million rand and they'll find it for you. But the interest rates are crazy.
25% a month.
It breaks you.
Yes.
You will be
you'll never get out.
You'll be paying, eventually, if you add it all up, you'll be paying like 10 million on that, on that 2 million rand.
You'll never get out, eh? That's what, that's the only thing they can do, because I think it's now 75% of their take-home pay, South African, is spent on debt.
Jeez. 75% of your take-home pay.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, just look at a home bond, car loan, credit card, store accounts, overdraft.
All right, I need to go home and just curl underneath the covers for the day.
No, I like it when you come in here, but I always get so depressed afterwards.
Well, I think you did our course a long time ago. Didn't you?
Yeah, I'm look, I'm not in a horrible state.
I know. But that's why, you know, you're making it sound like, I'm not depressed for me.
I'm depressed for this country that there are that many people who are in the hole.
Yeah.
And you said it just now. This is the most important lesson anyone can learn. It's nobody's business and nobody's problem and nobody's fault but yours. Mm. You have to sort yourself out before you can start worrying about everyone else.
Agreed. And you know what I see in my business, and it started probably about 7 years ago, they now have companies who will come in and train your people for free on debt. And I always ask them, do you work for free? No. Well, how do they? But there's a lot of people in HR and wellness who are doing the minimum acceptable standard. As long as I can put together something for my team, my group, and it doesn't cost me anything, I look good. But a lot of times it doesn't work, and what ends up happening is those people who just came in, and I won't mention names of the company, who do the training for free, 3 weeks later you get a call going, Gareth, would you like to retire wealthy? Would you like to send your child to a good school? And they're selling you policies.
Yeah.
How do you get out of debt by buying policies? Nah, you know what I mean?
It's not going to happen.
Agreed. So I call it the dread, and the other one is what insurance is, the dreaded D's of life. If you die and you're insured, you get money. If you get a disease and you're insured, you get money. If you get disabled and you have a policy, you get money. If you live a normal life, you're broke. So look forward to death, disease, and disability.
Oh. Thanks. There he is, always leaving us in a high.
I have one question. Maybe you could back it up. Because I heard that the government said, okay, they came out through the communications group saying they're going to roll over data on cell phones. Remember hearing that?
Yeah, it still hasn't happened.
Yeah, I know, because I went and bought a 10 gig package, and then boom, 30 days later, it was gone.
It's gone.
And I'm like, so I call them and they go, no, you can roll it over. You just have to buy the same amount this month and it'll roll over. And 10 gigs, I just bought it because it was cheap. You know what I mean? I don't want to buy 500 megs or whatever. That's the most expensive way to do
it. No, data is like a Ponzi scheme.
It's just, it's terrible. It's terrible. And I want to go back to one other thing about selling them the retirement annuities. You young people out there, remember, your company benefit is probably one of the best because it's heavily regulated. But remember that you may be young now, but in 15 years from now, you may be married, you may have children who are attending private school, you may be, so be cautious of locking up your money till you're 60 or 65 or whatever they wrote it for. When I got here, they were writing retirement programs for age 70. So you could be broke at 63, waiting 7 more years to get your money. Now that has changed and you can go in and, you know, make the adjustments. But it's amazing that they would sell stuff like that to people, you know. And I just give them all a warning. I say we're going to go to a junk. And when that happens, interest rates are going up. People are going to lose jobs. And I think the article said there's a $14 billion, which is about 230 billion rand, which is going to leave the country in investment from offshore because they can't invest in a sub-investment grade country. So as soon as we go to junk, you're going to have 230 billion, I think is the number, that leaves this country. And that's jobs. That's businesses. That's taxpayers again who get retrenched. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So my son calls me doom and gloom, but been right quite a long time now.
I'm going to call you doom and gloom too, but you're right.
Well, no, D&G. Right. I mean, Dolce and Gabbana. No,
You're allowed to be both. You're allowed to be doom and gloom and correct. Okay, Joe, always good to catch up with you,
my
man.
Brother.
Where can people find you if they want to know more?
You can hit the internet, financialfitness.coza. You can call me at 011-656-6811.
There we go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Get out of debt, people.
Yeah.
Disease, disability, and
stuff to think about. Yeah, it's just amazing.
Are we off?
Yes.
I also add two more D's. Desmond Dubé. Guy with the 5,000 a day clientele hospital. Right. I go, now there's two more D's. Desmond Dubé. And they all laugh. Cause, dude, I cannot believe it. Every so often I go to SABC and all I see is funeral cover.
Right.
And pharmaceuticals.
That's how they're making
their
money.
The pharmaceutical industry is just lambasted in the airwaves, eh? And I know Americans are over.
We're going to see you tomorrow, 6 o'clock, bright and early. Thank you, Joe.
This is CliffCentral.com. Cliff